Dear brothers and sisters, before entering the land of Canaan, the Israelites journeyed through the harsh wilderness. The wilderness was a place that contrasted the land of Canaan. There was hardly any water, and the land was so barren that no grain or fruit grew. It left the Israelites with very little to eat. Unlike the wilderness, the promised land of Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey. When the spies reached the valley of Eshel in Numbers 13:23, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men and with some of the pomegranates and the figs. The land was so fruitful that a single cluster of grapes had to be carried by two men on a pole. Have a think about it. Imagine it. Imagine the fruitfulness of the land. Even in Korea, you know, a cluster of grapes, you know, you could more or less carry in one hand, at the most two hands. In Korea, we've got certain types of grapes where the grape itself is extremely large. It's a globe grape. But even if it's that big, a cluster would still, you would still be able to hold it in your two hands. But in the Bible, we can see that a single cluster of grapes had to be carried by two men. And this shows how fruitful the land of Canaan was. And many of you may have had a life like the wilderness before encountering God. You may say, I had dreams and plans and worked hard in my youth, but only faced repeated failures and lost everything. I even lost my good health and family. There are some who say, looking at my circumstances, I didn't lack anything in particular, but feel no satisfaction or joy in the heart. Many people confess that life is like sowing seeds in the wilderness and reaping nothing despite working hard. But not just our church members, but, you know, worldly people as well. A lot of people confess that, you know, I've tried to live a good life, you know, put in my best. Even if, you know, you weren't particularly wealthy, you grew up in love or, you know, in a loving family. And even if you didn't grow up in a good environment or a good family background, you put in your effort to turn your life around. You know, you dream good dreams. You have a goal. You have your 5-year, 10-year goal. You save your money. You put in the deposit. Buy a house, buy a car. You know, get married and have a good family. And, you know, you say that you have all these plans set out for you, but it doesn't always turn out that way. Sometimes all your savings that you've saved up for a house end up going to something else because an emergency pops up. You know, so a lot of people say that they plan and they dream but can't achieve all that they've planned for. Some people say that, you know, they make a resolution to live a kinder life or a more busier, less lazier life. And it's not always easy. In the world, I'm sure there's not a lot of people who put in the effort to live a lazy or bad life. I'm sure everyone would want to live a life that's happy and joyful and good, you know, without any hardships. But many say that they plan for that, but it doesn't always go according to plan. And I'm sure if I were to say the majority of people in the world have done that, it's probably not too far from the truth. If you look, you know, within a person's life, a mundane person's life, that they think their life has gone according to plan. But if you look deep within that, within their life, you'll see perhaps family disputes or, you know, a missing part of their life, something that's hollow in their heart. You know, not 100% happy. But now we hear a different confession from the same people. Why? Because after meeting the Lord and cultivating the heart field, you begin to live a life that bears fruit. You now testify that everything you sow bears fruit, whether it's wealth, health, or family happiness. Above all, you testify of finding true satisfaction and joy in God. It's because, you know, sometimes before coming to church and becoming a Christian, you hear of, you know, husbands and wives fighting between each other, family disputes. And no matter, children getting on your nerves and not listening to what you say. So then, you know, your life becomes extremely weary and burdensome and just tiring. Because, you know, your family doesn't go according to plan. And when you become evangelized and, you know, you let your heart down and you put yourself down and think, yeah, if there was a God, you know, something could help my life go better. So you end up coming to church. You know, you become a Christian. You live a good life. And when you do that, your family transforms as well. You testify of finding true satisfaction, of receiving healing works, of any illnesses. Some people, they come to church with so many illnesses and they've received all those healings, you know, more than they can count on both hands. So many healing testimonies that we hear on a daily basis or a weekly basis. So living a hard life in the world and then suddenly transforming once you become a Christian, coming to our church. There are so many testimonies of church members that have received all of these blessings and healings. But God's blessings, they don't cease. Just as the grape seed and vine produce larger and more splendid fruit in the land of Canaan, we can reap an abundant harvest in our life when we become the true children God desires. What is the first principle of sowing and reaping? It's cultivating the soil of our hearts. To reap what is sown, we must first cultivate our hearts and turn it into good soil. Today we'll look at the rocky ground out of the four types of heart fields. Rocky ground is much easier to cultivate than the path-like field. May today's message turn into grace and power so you can quickly cultivate your heart. I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll establish the promised land of Canaan in your heart and bear 30, 60, and 100-fold the fruit you sow. We looked at the four types of soil as the heart of each person who receives the word. Even though the same seed is sown in the hearts of all believers, the outcome differs depending on the condition of each person's heart field. Last week, we looked at the path-like heart field along with rocky ground, thorny ground, and the good and fertile soil. The path-like heart field refers to a hardened heart, meaning a stubborn heart that doesn't understand or believe despite hearing the word of God. To cultivate a path-like heart field, you must cast away evil in the heart and break your self-righteousness and frameworks. You must continue without wavering until the end. The second heart field is the rocky ground. Matthew 13 verses 5 and 6. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. A field with many rocks often only has a thin layer of soil. It lacks depth. Seeds can, you know, grow due to the presence of soil, but soon wither under the sun due to the shallowness of the soil. When the soil is thin, it doesn't retain moisture as well and easily heats up under the scorching sun. Stones also prevent the roots from growing deep, so the tender sprouts wither. So even though it looks like it's taken root, it can't take root as much as you think. What kind of heart does the rocky ground represent? Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. The path-like heart does not understand the word despite hearing it, but the person with the rocky heart field understands. As it says, hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, this kind of person even receives grace. But the one with the rocky heart stumbles in trials, affliction, or persecution. Affliction or persecution does not only refer to hardships to stand firm in faith. It includes external persecution, situations, and challenges that make it difficult to keep your faith and live according to God's word. When the word doesn't seem beneficial or doesn't align with your thoughts, it can lead to stumbling and falling. So when you think about persecution or challenges, you might think of people or the environment that tries to stop you from believing in the word and becoming a Christian. But it's not always the same. Sometimes, you know, it's internal. It's that fight between sin and goodness. It's the fight that when you listen to the word and you try to live according to the word, you know, it seems as though your life is becoming more hard, as if you've got more challenges when you try to live according to word. And these could be your internal fights or the external fights that happens if your environment ends up becoming challenging. This happens because the seed hasn't fully taken root, meaning you don't have true faith, which is spiritual faith yet. You might have heard and understood the word, but not realized or truly believed in the heart. This kind of faith is called intellectual or knowledgeable faith. Of course, your faith can appear firm when you're filled with grace. But the true level of faith is quickly revealed in times of trial. For example, there are new believers who confess that the pastor's message is true and full of grace. When they, you know, they say that the word preached on the altar is word for word, just like the Bible. It's true, like the Bible. And when they attend a healing meeting, hear testimonies and have their problems resolved, they think that God is truly alive and that they must live according to God's word, as heaven and hell really exist. Some new believers experience powerful works of the Holy Spirit, and they receive grace. You know, there are many new believers that are registering at our church and becoming, receiving answers to their prayers, receiving healing works of serious illnesses, serious diseases. They receive all this grace and resolve to live a good, faithful life This is grace from above. It means that the seed of the word has sprouted. They've clearly experienced the Holy Spirit. But despite receiving grace, conflict arises in the heart when they try to go to church on Sundays. Though clearly experiencing the Holy Spirit, sometimes they have doubts and think if it's only temporary. You know, some people receive healing works of serious illnesses and diseases. You know, diseases and illnesses that they've had for like 20-odd years. And being healed of those, you can't think it's, you know, a coincidence or a chance. But then some people, they doubt of their healing works, especially if it's not as serious. You know, when they're full of the Holy Spirit at, say, a divine healing meeting and it all goes away, they think it might be temporary. Doubts or critical thoughts flood in and cause them to shut the door of their heart again. When you think, it's not just you thinking, but it's the enemy, devil, and Satan that tries to give you fleshly thoughts to go against God and gives you doubts and judgmental thoughts of God. You need to realize that the enemy, devil, and Satan does try to work through your thoughts, through fleshly thoughts, by giving you doubts and thinking, oh, is this not, you know, chance or coincidence? Or the enemy, devil, and Satan uses the people around you when they tell you that, oh, it's a coincidence of you getting healed. It's a coincidence of you getting blessings. And then, you know, when you don't stand as firm in the faith, you end up falling over and you stumble. Some feel reluctant to give up certain hobbies or leisurely activities and stop going to church on Sundays. Some who've been living a fervent spiritual life might stop attending church when they're persecuted by people around them. You know, these words, these people are not people that didn't receive grace. They're people that have received grace and have experienced the Holy Spirit. But despite all of these experiences, you know, it could be through doubt, critical thoughts, you know, persecutions from the environment, change in situation, they end up caving in. And it's not only new believers, but also those who have attended church for a long time, received grace and seemed to live a fervent faith, that leave the church after getting hurt by others. This shows that their faith was only fleshly faith, only in knowledge. It's like a flower cut from a tree that looks fresh, but withers in time. Why is the sprout of the word unable to take root in the heart? It's because of the stones embedded in the heart field. These stones refer to the fleshly heart and untruth that prevent obedience to the word. It especially represents the untruths as hard as stone that block the seed from taking root. This untruth can be described as a love for the world. In a narrow sense, it refers to the fleshly nature that desires the lustful things of the world. In a broader sense, it refers to untruths that prevent you from believing in and loving God. The last weeks, we looked at many religious leaders and high officials who persecuted Jesus during his time as a key example of a path like heart field, but some of these people had hearts like a rocky ground. John 12 verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God.
These
They believed in Jesus when they saw his words and works, but loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. In other words, they loved the glory and joy in the world more. You know, if they show or give evidence that they believe in Jesus Christ, they're afraid of losing all the power and the authority that they have in the synagogue and is, you know, with the Jews. But within the Jewish churches, they're against Jesus Christ. And when they show that they believe in Jesus Christ, they calculate in their minds of the consequences, and the consequences would be losing all their power and authority and perhaps even being persecuted by the Jews. Because of this stone in their heart, they were unable to live according to God's word, though they believed in Jesus. This is the same for Christians today. If you have fleshly nature that loves worldly pleasures in the heart, it becomes difficult to obey the command of keeping the Sabbath day holy. If you have the stone of greed, you know, it's not just not going to church that goes against keeping the Sabbath day holy. It also includes going to church, but, you know, thinking of worldly things or, you know, falling asleep or not really listening properly. That's not keeping the Sabbath day holy either. Is your heart thinking of the world, or is it thinking of God? Do you understand the words that are preached at the altar? Do you, you know, plant the words of truth in your heart? If you don't, then it's because you've got stones in your heart. If you have the stone of greed in the heart, it's difficult to obey the word that says, offer full tithe and offerings. Some even feel it is too wasteful to give offerings to God and end up not coming to church. When you're full of the Holy Spirit and you hear, you know, the presider giving announcements of special sanctuary offerings, you know, at the time you might have the desire to give scheduled sanctuary offerings, but then once you stop cultivating the heart field and you lose that fervor, you might end up stopping because, you know, you've got that greed in the heart. So you need to reflect upon yourself and check what kind of stones you've got in your heart. You know, some people have the stone of hatred deeply embedded, which prevents the seed of love from taking root. A lot of these stones are in the form of evil and sin, and they're embedded in your heart. So you need to look back on yourself and check what stones you've got and pray. Some fields have a thin layer of soil covering a bedrock, because not all rocky soil is the same. You know, it's a bedrock. So a bedrock is extremely deep. It's thick. Other fields are filled with many small pebbles and stones. The composition of the stones can also vary from field to field, and it's the same to our heart. The type and depth of untruth embedded in the heart vary from person to person. The first kind of rocky ground is the one with large stones deeply embedded. When evangelizing, some say that they know God's word after, you know, having attended church and so serving in the choir, Sunday school, or small groups as a leader. But then when they're encouraged to return to church, they respond saying that they're too busy and, you know, will return when there's time. Or they might say that they'll come back to church and live a proper life of faith once their children are grown. Despite once receiving the Holy Spirit and serving faithfully in the past, they've now turned away from God. You know, these are people that have received and experienced the Holy Spirit. But even then, they've, you know, left the church. They have the knowledge. They have the thoughts that, you know, God is alive and Jesus Christ is alive and is my Savior. And they have thoughts of returning back to church one day, but God doesn't accept that as true faith. You know, when people go against God and say God is not real, you know, Jesus Christ is not our Savior, you know, they're not the only ones who don't have faith. God also considers people who do not live according to God's word, do not live a faithful Christian life, as faith. So even if you've received Jesus Christ but end up going back to the world and, you know, leave life as a Christian, you know, in your memories, then it can be hard to receive salvation. Why? Why do people leave the church after knowing God? It's because of the stones in the heart, like the desire to make a lot of money or the lust of the world. The word was unable to take deep root. So once you leave God, you know, they just end up living a worldly life. This kind of field has large and firmly embedded stones of untruth. But the rocky ground does not only refer to those who fall into temptation and cease coming to church. Among Christians who diligently attend church, there are those who have a rocky ground as they haven't cultivated their heart field. In comparison, these fields may have smaller and shallower embedded stones of untruth. This kind of heart receives grace and fervor when hearing words about the spiritual realm and witnessing God's works and confess to live according to the word. But when temptation or hardship comes, the fullness disappears and they go back to the old ways of living in the world. Or they might attend church but compromise with the world and live in sin. For example, some hear and learn God's word and start their Christian life from a, you know, young age, but don't live accordingly. They might have experienced the Holy Spirit and received grace, but find it difficult to let go of their love for the world. When they hear the word, they know they should live differently, but get immersed in the world once back in. They live with one foot in God and one foot in the world. Due to the word, they hold on to God, but have many stones in the heart that prevent God's word from taking root. Within the rocky ground, there are parts where only part of the ground is rocky. And this kind of soil, sprouts grow in certain areas and can bear fruit. This refers to those who carry out parts of the word and struggle to follow others. This is better than bearing no fruit at all, but can also lead to the unintended result of no longer cultivating the field. As there are areas where they've succeeded or received recognition, they fail to realize the parts they have not yet attained. Like having the eyes covered, they don't perceive nor try to cultivate those areas. For example, some people serve faithfully and sincerely without change. You know, being faithful can lead to bearing fruit. But these people bear some fruit through the level of faithfulness, but constantly clash with others due to hatred in the heart. They gossip, judge, condemn, and break peace. And even after many years, they're unable to bear fruit like love or gentleness. Compared to the level of faithfulness, the fruit that they bear is few. If this person is a church worker who cares for souls, they're unable to bear the fruit of great revival. As peace is broken, the person's good and unwavering heart fails to shine. Some Christians, you know, we need to look back on ourselves and see if we've got rocky stones. Do we have rocky places within our good soil heart fields? And then sometimes, you know, with these rocky grounds in the heart, only certain parts of the heart could be rocky places. That means other parts, you've borne fruit. And there are people in the church that are happy and content with the fruit that they've borne in the other areas, and then live in neglect of the areas that they do need to cultivate. And some people have a good heart and understand other people, and, you know, they look after other people, but they're gentle and kind-hearted and show consideration toward others but lack diligence. They're often known for being irresponsible, like frequently being late or breaking commitments. And even after many years, this behavior doesn't change. The fruit of peace or love may sprout and grow, but it becomes difficult for them to develop an upright heart. It means that the fruit of blessing given by God is limited. So even if their peaceful nature is valued and God's mission is entrusted, it'd be difficult to assign an important task because they're not diligent. And when they're not diligent, they may end up having problems here and there. They can have peace, but they can't bear great fruit. Of course, there are pros and cons to every personality. But the important thing is for us to always look back on our cons in our personalities and quickly fix that. But if you continuously look at your pros, at the things that you're good at only, and ask people, why don't you use me? Why don't you, you know, give an important task to me? Then, you know, it's not easy for you to grow. If this kind of person runs a business, God can only give as much as they can handle despite the desire to bless greatly. If there's no fruit in certain areas after many years of living Christian life, it means there are still stones. That area of the heart is like rocky ground. Once the areas are identified and cultivated, you can quickly enter into spirit. In our hearts, we've got stones. The thorny ground. But when you humble yourself and look back on your stones and look at how to cultivate those stones and get rid of them, then that is a humble heart. But many people, they're just happy with the areas that they have cultivated and borne fruit. But it's always good to always look back on yourself and give an honest reflection of what it is that you need to do better. You know, what areas of your heart still is a rocky ground? And when you do that, God is able to use you more. Other people's cons, other people's, you know, lacking areas is something that you're good at. And then you might compare and say that, you know, you're better than the other person. But when you think about it, another person's good aspects or skills is something that you might not be able to do. It's a big person before God for people that are able to look back on themselves and consider that, you know, what other people are not good at, you might be good at. However, other people can be good at other things that you're not good at. So in your heart, when you've got some places that are rocky fields and other places that aren't, and you bear fruit in those areas, you end up ignoring the areas that are rocky places and just focus on the parts that are bearing fruit. So I hope that you can look back on yourself and get rid of the rocky places, the stones that are embedded in the heart that you've previously ignored. And if you do that, wouldn't, you know, the heavenly place be yours? Wouldn't you find a place in heaven? wouldn't you enter into spirit and whole spirit? Would you stop if you were to enter into spirit and whole spirit? If you were to stop, that would be unfortunate and silly. So make sure you don't stop going forwards. Next sermon, we'll look at how to cultivate the rocky ground. During Exodus, the Israelites witnessed many great signs and wonders. And each time, they rejoiced greatly. Even as they danced and praised with joy, the fullness would vanish and they'd complain to God's servant Moses whenever they faced hardship. It's as if the seed had been sown in the wilderness where their spiritual faith did not grow. After the Exodus, the Israelites were with Moses, whom God performed his mighty works. They witnessed many manifestations of God's power through Moses. The Israelites saw the Red Sea divided, water flowing from the rock, and manna being provided. Yet, when the land of Canaan was right before them, they couldn't trust God. They became fearful and collapsed before the Canaanites. Though they were God's people, they lacked genuine faith in Him. Except for Joshua and Caleb, the entire first generation that came out of Egypt died in the harsh wilderness. It'd be frustrating to sow seeds in the field again and again, only to see the sprouts wither and die. But Father God never gives up, even on the most barren, rocky ground. God continues to sow the seed again and again and sends the rain of grace in its season. If we make a new resolution and diligently cultivate our hearts, God will pour out His grace. True belief and love for God is not difficult. Father God always reaches out His hand first. God tells us how much He loves us and shows us the evidence of that love. Faith is not doubting this love, but relying on it and diligently cultivating our heart fields. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you will all cultivate your hearts into good soil so that the labor and patience of God will not be in vain. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will bear abundant and solid fruit, bring great joy to God, and richly store up your dwelling place in heaven.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. all burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.